2.5 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. And one of the most annoying questions I would ask our guide every time we went to a place is, was Jesus there? 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 And so we'd go to a different place, and he'd look at me halfway through his talk and go, "And Jesus might have been here, Ryan." And when you go to Israel, you have to go knowing that lots of where Jesus was is like under 10 or 15 meters of rubble. And so there's not lots of Jesus-y places. But the Sea of Galilee is a really Jesus-y place. It's a sea that's still there. And we went out on a small boat that had an electric engine, and we were able to go into the middle of the sea and be still. And our guide that day said, "This is about as close to the Jesus-y place as you can get. Because when you look to the hills or you look to the shoreline, this is what Jesus saw." And so when we were along the shoreline, there was different coves that you can go to. And in one of the coves, I took rocks and put them into my bag and brought them back to Canada. And so I have some of these Sea of Galilee rocks on this tray today. And so you can touch them or feel them. And I always keep one on my desk because I think that, you know, maybe Jesus' big toe was on this particular rock. And I just kind of rub it against me, and I go, "Please help me prepare the sermon, Lord. Help me prepare the sermon." I say all this just because I still have this image of being able to stand along that shoreline where all these rocks are strewn. Like it's layers and layers of these rocks. And imagining Jesus there. Or imagining being in a boat with other rowers or fishermen and hearing Jesus call along the shoreline. And so I invite you to try and get into a shoreline imagination place this morning. Sitting in a rented wooden boat, it's 8 meters long, 2.5 meters wide. You have your fishing or rowing colleagues beside you. And maybe you're a football field length from the shoreline. You've just thrown a fishing net into the sea with your colleagues. You're working for the man and just hoping that you can get a decent catch today. Life just goes so much better when we get a decent catch. We look towards the shoreline, and there he is, Jesus. Some have been calling him the new Elijah or the new Jeremiah. Others have been brushing him off as this lowly carpenter's son. Either way, he's pulling a crowd, and there's a gaggle of people with him as he shouts and proclaims along the shoreline, "This is the good news of God." "I could use some good news," Peter thinks to himself. A sick mother-in-law at home and his wife and children trying to make a go of it, feeling burdened by the pressures of caring for this woman who isn't showing any signs of healing. "This is the good news of God," Jesus shouts from the shoreline. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Let your mind be renewed with this good news. Believe." Simon's brother Andrew looks at the shore and announces, "He's coming towards us." Jesus' shouting gets clearer and closer. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." Now he's about 50 meters away from the boat. He motions to the fishermen and he shouts, "Follow me. I will make you fish for people. Follow me." In your imaginations, try to insert what might have happened in that dramatic pause between call and response. Maybe the heavens broke open. Maybe the voice of the Lord flashed forth like flames of fire. Perhaps for Simon and Andrew, their hearts were burning within them. To the utter shock and surprise of their boatmates, Simon and Peter dive into the water. Simon and Andrew, they swim towards Jesus. They left their nets and followed him. After a few soppy hugs and handshakes from local acquaintances and strangers along the shoreline, they push along the seaside. A few coves up, they find another fishing boat. Simon recognizes this one not as rented, but privately owned by Zebedee and Sons. Simon thinks to himself, Jesus, you're not going to get those pompous hotheads, you kooky rabbi. But again, Jesus wades into the water and shouts, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Renew your minds. Repent. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. I was thinking of that spiritual, that gospel spiritual this week. Were you there? Were you there? And that spiritual really puts us into the picture, into the story. And so even today we might say, were you there when he called and preached along the shore? Oh. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. How do you feel in the light of today's call story? Jesus wading into the waters of our lives, stirring things up, telling us to boldly renew our minds and follow. Perhaps we tremble a bit. I think part of my trembling connects to bad ways I've heard this story over the years. I've heard it in ways that maybe made me feel ashamed or full of performance anxiety because I wasn't giving up enough to follow Jesus. And so now, after 20 plus years of pastoral ministry and trying to preach and teach and serve this Jesus of ours, my trembling now happens, I think, in the best sense of the word. A trembling of awe, a trembling of gratitude, thankfulness, even as Debbie was praying today, worship, and might we even say love and devotion. So this morning, I'd urge us to hear with ears of those who are beloved children. 2 weeks ago, we were at the River Jordan with Jesus. And even before he had done anything in his ministry, the voice from heaven spoke, my beloved, with you I am well pleased. So let's have those kind of ears on as we try to live in and out of this story today. Let's imagine Jesus wading into the waters of our lives and inviting you and me sitting in our boats, the boats of our vocation or the boats of our context. Jesus moving towards us, stirring things up, maybe even splashing water on us with a smile on his face. And he says again and declares, the time is now. The rule and reign of God, the dream of God is here. Let your minds be renewed. Believe the good news. Get in line behind me and follow me and allow a God-created miracle to be birthed in you. The miracle of your life flowing in the same direction as God's life. your life flowing in the same direction as God's life. I'm borrowing that phrase from Barbara Brown Taylor, who reflects on this story and reminds us that this raving response to follow Jesus is not about us and our keen aptitude or our gumption and obedience to get it right to be good Jesus followers. Instead, it's a miracle. This might truly be the first miracle of the Gospel of Mark, that God makes disciples. God creates disciples where disciples weren't before. It's a miracle. Our lives flowing in the same direction as God's life. So maybe we could pause with that for a minute or so today. Our lives flowing in the same direction as God's life. Can we name that flow in our lives today? How does that feel? How does that look? Or maybe in this season of Epiphany, the Holy Spirit, through the presence of Christ, is causing us or calling us to renew our direction or our movement in that flow that moves in the same direction as God's life. So I invite you today, get behind Jesus. Follow his way, for it changes our way. The way that we speak, or the way that we imagine, or the way that we pray is influenced by the heart and the spirit of Jesus. The way we treat the other, the way we read, the way we sing, the way we worship, when our lives flow in the same direction as God's life, the kingdom of God, the dream of God is here and near. And so look around, even today. These are your boat colleagues. These are the people we get it done with, week after week after week, in this place of worship and gratitude, adoration, but also movement and go-forthness. It's here, the kingdom of God, here. Many of you know that this is my 10th year as the pastor, as the senior minister of this church. And as I continue to reflect on our present journey together, us as ministry leaders, as church council, as co-parishioners and congregants, I think this is a great place where our lives are flowing in the same direction as God's life. So when people are asking, what does the kingdom of God look like? What is the dream of God? What does the reign of God look like? It looks like this. That's the kingdom of God being built here on earth, here in Edmonton, as it is in heaven. Isn't that exciting? Woo, woo, woo! You'd think this happens in churches everywhere, but you'd be surprised in how many churches this does not happen. So we're grateful. We're thankful. We can look to our left and we look to our right and we see people who we're making the kingdom of God here in this place. That's a miracle. But also, in light of this miracle, there's this other movement, and Amanda has prepared the way for us a bit on that. What's to be said of this fish for people thing? I don't want us to leave this sermon or this text without at least trying to take a real look closer. Because I'm sure many of us will resonate with this follow Jesus piece and be bearers of good news vibe, but what about fishing for people? And I want to clarify, because I think we live in a Christian culture that gets pretty hyped up about the fish hunt. Here in Edmonton, there's something coming called Missions Fest Alberta 2018. And we've been getting posters about it. And the lead part on the poster says, "Do you want the king to come? ... Then finish the job." Now, I'm adding my own intonation to that. But do you want the king to come?
Then finish the job, you lazy Christian.
I don't want you to go to this conference. Okay. Because I think the extra read between the lines narrative there is there. Do you want the kingdom of God to draw near? Well, then fish harder. Fish now. Fish like you mean it. And suddenly that whole wagging finger, it's up to you, you no good lazy Christian, evaporates anything I have in my heart of being the beloved child, beloved son, or beloved daughter. So what gives, Jesus, though you say, I will make you fish for people? I do want to lay this phrase and in the hands of the protagonist of the story, Jesus, Son of God. And so I want to put the emphasis on the I will make you. This movement is God-sourced. It's Jesus-inspired. It's Holy Spirit-empowered fishing. And let's get the sequence right. Follow me. Yes, Lord, we will follow. I will make you. Yes, Lord, we will be shaped by you. Isaiah 64 says, you are the potter, we are the clay. Shape us, Lord Jesus. Shape our hearts. Enliven our imagination. Fill us with your love and your mercy and your compassion. And then, yes, fish for people. But think net here versus hooks and barbs. What does it look like when others are drawn in? And I recognize the fish image. It's kind of crazy. Flapping, flopping, splashing, wriggling. It's quite the intriguing image for the dream and the kingdom and the reign of God. But I believe that as we get a feel for this fish for people practice, as we follow and as we are made and formed, and as we get behind Jesus and walk in his ways and allow our hearts and our bodies and our minds to be formed in the way where his life and his love are put on display through our lives, I do believe others will be drawn in. It's happening now. Week by week, new people are coming into our midst. They're joining our community of faith, or they're maybe splishing and splashing about, wondering if this might be a place where they stay. So let's continue to be a place that's ready to welcome, postured with hearts where we say, yes, this is a place where the people of God, where the flow of what's happening here is the flow of God's grace and direction. So let's be ready to welcome them. That's the fish for people piece. And together we draw people in. And God's will continues to be done to us and through us. And the reign and the dream of God is experienced here in Edmonton, in this community, in this net of faith, as it is in heaven. So, Lord of the fish net, let it be so.